as Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. This is today. It's the Everybody's Name John podcast. It's normally called Fairfield County Live and Local, but today it's the Everybody's Name John podcast. I got John Malkin and John Griffin from the Simple Radicals back on the show. It's great to see you guys again, man.
Great to see you, brother. Well, you don't have an H in your name, so you're our CEO.
Right. I'm a CEO. Ooh, I got promoted. I like that. I'm a Jonathan, technically. So I'm nicknaming it. I'm being secretive. You guys have all the cards on the table.
We do. Right. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah.
It's good to
see
you. So I was thinking about this, you know, the last time we spoke, so much has changed. It was, what was it? It was early February or late January, dead of winter. Vaccines are a new thing. There are maybe, we don't know what's going on. No live music. We're surviving on like guerrilla radio broadcasts, like the one that we're doing right now. What has changed for you guys, musically and non-musically, in the 6-7 months since?
Oh, man. Personally, professionally, this is so much. I'll kick it in, then Johnny, you can go. I mean, we've actually used the time to write a bunch of new material. We've got, we got a couple new songs that I think we released since the pandemic. Let's See What You Got is our new one that just came out. And then I think I'm trying to remember when White Rabbit came out. So we used that time to make new material and kind of perfect our set list. And we're writing some new brand new material now. And then it was just a matter of just trying to figure out when we were going to play out again. And we were all cautious about wanting to, you know, places were starting to open, but we were all a little bit cautious about jumping, be the first ones to jump in the sea, you know? I mean, so we're really excited about our first big gig coming up at the Levitt Pavilion in Westport on August 14th, which is an outdoor venue, which we're all comfortable with. And we're now starting to, you know, plan our tour in the Midwest. And now with the whole COVID thing kicking in, we're all like, man, you know, just how deep are we going? How is it? How, are we all comfortable? I mean, so we'll probably plan our dates. We're actually talking to some places in Chicago right now, and you know, we'll schedule it. But you know, then everyone just kind of has to see what happens. You know, hopefully we're safe.
Whether it's Delta or Lambda or whatever Greek alphabet,
whatever fraternity,
pops up. Well, that's the thing. And I liked what you said too about trying to weigh that balance. I know a lot of bands tried to weigh that balance of like getting back out to shows, but also, you know, trying to be conscientious and respectful of the safety. Cause you don't want to be the first guys in, but you also don't want to be the last guys in and like miss the whole wave and everybody's used to live music being back either. There's a very delicate thing.
That's a big
and
deal.
John, go.
I think we're all running. I know we've run into this where we didn't know when to start booking gigs and then it all started happening again. And now we're booking gigs and it's like, well, I hope we have the gigs.
Exactly.
That's right.
So much of that. My buddy Drew Angus, actually, who played at the Levitt Pavilion a little bit earlier this summer, he was telling me, like, you know, you look at the venues and they're loving it right now because they can book anybody they want as late out as they want. Everybody's taking the gigs, but for smaller bands, it's been tough. It's been tough to book the bigger rooms because the bigger rooms are just like, oh yeah, we'll take literally whoever. It's a buyer's market for them right now.
That's right. And then the wild card is, you know, are people going to be comfortable enough to start showing up?
Yeah.
You know, that's the unknown. So I don't know.
This is why I'm excited about this gig at the Levitt, because that's, first of all, just a dream venue right there in Westport, you know, in the middle of Fairfield County, but all completely outdoors. I got to play Blues, Views, and Barbecue there a couple of years ago. Great time.
We're
going to have some fun at that show, but let's talk for a second, speaking of outdoor venues, about this new Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Because I know Styx opened, it was last week, and I know you interviewed Todd Zuckerman recently.
Yeah.
I got to imagine you were at that show.
Oh, yeah. So Todd is a childhood friend of mine who was just voted one of the top 60 drummers of all time in by Drum Magazine. So, I mean, it's an amazing honor. So, you know, I reach out to him and he took care of us and got us some great seats.
Right.
And it was really it was such a pleasure and honor to see them. So what a gorgeous arena. I mean, so it's a, you know, it's an outdoor arena, but it's covered with this, you know, this kind of this tent up there. So if it's raining, they can still do shows. The acoustics great. Styx was unfreaking believable. I mean, just spot on. I mean, just tight. Tommy Shaw sounded great. Chuck Panozzo, the original bass player, showed up on stage to play a couple songs. He started the band with his brother John Panozzo, like in the 70s back in Chicago. So it was really, it was just an amazing show. And then Ario comes on, and I love Ario, you know?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, their sound guy decided to turn it up to 11, and it sounded awful. I mean, and I hate to say this, and it was just, your chest was thumping, you know, and people started streaming out. And it's, I don't know what the, I mean, I can't believe he didn't figure this out, but it just sounded so overwhelming and way too loud.
And you know it's not the venue because the last band sounded fine.
It sounded great.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not the band. No. And, but you know, I mean, it was great to see those guys, you know, they still sound good. You know, there's still a few members up there that are still the originals. So, you know, it's nostalgic, but
it's great. Such a great venue. Just great to have in this part of the state too, man. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you had a couple of folks, 95.9 at the on stage, doing yes, some, indeed. Yeah, you guys have yes, a presence indeed. There. It's awesome.
Yeah. We've got a little box. It's nice.
Lost you there.
Yeah, hold on.
There you go.
Am I back?
There you go. Now you're back.
Getting there.
Now. Oh, wait a minute. Yes?
Use the internet.
Oh, I may have a bad wire or something. Oh, yeah.
It's a bad XLR. There we go. But yeah, just so great to have to have a spot like that. So here, hold on though. Before we talk about other stuff, I want to talk about you guys because you've got new music out right now, and it's just another great example of the versatility of the Simple Radicals. New single, Let's See What You Got, and it's on all streaming platforms. If you want to check this out, just search for the Simple Radicals. Let's See What You Got. You guys have Emotion, which I've been playing a lot on Live and Local. You guys had that great cover of White Rabbit where you get, you know, went kind of EDM and like kind of like almost like a goth pop kind of sound. Now you're full on George Thorogood with Let's See What You Got. Dude, what do you guys not do? And like, just describe how you wrote this song.
Well, the story behind this song is kind of funny. We were touring up, this is pre-apocalypse, we were touring up in Michigan and we were playing the Diesel Lounge, which is it's a great venue where Kid Rock has played, Buck Cherry, everyone who grew up, I think probably Jack White played, everyone who's played and started in the Detroit area has played the Diesel, has been there forever, beat up around the edges, ton of character, but they pack in a huge crowd, and we never played up there. And so we went up there, full house. There was a band opening up for us. And I was just standing there. John and I were standing there in the audience, and we're watching this band. And this guy comes up to me. And for whatever reason, it's not like we were wearing like, hey, we're in a band t-shirts. But he thought we were in a band or the band coming up. And he started chatting with us. And he said, hey, you guys in the band? We're like, yeah. And he said, you know, tell me about your music. I was like, well, you know, here's our sound. It's kind of like, it's a little Foo Fighters meets Pearl Jam meets a little Green Day meets Cheap Trick, a little Petty, all mixed in, all that. And we were chatting, goes, all right, man, let's see what you got. And he walks away. And that line stuck in my head for so long, because at the end of the day, if you're a performer that, you know, you go up on stage and that's pretty much everyone is asking. They're just going, or not just saying, it's like, all right, let's see what you got, man. You know, they just, we paid our money or whatever, and they want to see what you got. And so I had this in my mind about a band, you know, basically getting ready to go on and play and, you know, the interaction with the audience and bringing it. And, you know, you come to our house, it's going to be loud and all that. So we wrote this song, and I came up with this riff, the beginning of the riff, kind of a little petty. What's that song, Johnny? That Saving Grace, kind of a little Saving Grace, a little rockabilly kind of riff to open it up and all that. And John and I, John helped me kind of flesh it out and all that. And we came up with this tune and put it together. And after we finished writing it, and we were thinking, because we like to kind of think about how our songs also work with videos. And so we got together as a band and we were going through it. And I said, man, can you imagine this song juxtaposed against sports videos? And so James Page, our bass player, was like, oh yeah, I'm so there. So he came out, put together this wonderful Olympics video and that we released just before the Olympics and threw it up on the internet. And it's already hit, I think, almost 40,000 views in just a short period of time. So
nice.
We kind of have this thing that we're going to start releasing this song to a lot of sports related videos, but it's really, yeah, we love this. We love this song. We think this is one of our favorites.
That's the trick, right? It's to you mix in your song with sports and you are good to go, like forever. All-Star will be played 50 years from now.
Right.
Way past when people have stopped talking about Shrek, you're still going to hear All-Star at a baseball game, dude.
You're so right, man. You're so right.
I mean, it's got that message because there is that competitive aspect of playing a gig too that you typically would associate with sports and wouldn't typically associate with, you know, with music. But it's competitive. If you're on a bill with multiple bands and you see another band come up, you're going to say to yourself, all right, let's see what they got. Let's see what's going on.
And you're also competing for the audience attention. And, you know, you got to grab them right away. If you don't get them in the first like 30 seconds or 40 seconds, they'll just go off and, you know, get a beer and chat with their friends. So you got to engage them immediately.
Exactly.
And engage. So it's a, you know,
basically a sales gig.
Every time.
That's right.
You know what they call a bass solo, right?
What?
Time to get a cigarette. That's what they call it right there.
That's right. That's all right, man. I love it.
Who did that? So who did the solo on that? Because that was ripping. You guys didn't hire Vernon Reed again, did you? Oh, it was John Griffin.
I am a big psychobilly fan. I don't play Gretsch guitars with this band because I live in Chicago and they're hard to move around. But I used all Gretsch guitars on that. And total psychobilly.
It was semi-hollows then, yeah.
Yeah. He sent me the riff, and I was like, dude, that's a psychobilly riff. We're going with that.
Yeah. You crushed it, man. That sounds great. It's got a little Queens of the Stone Age to it, too, a little bit. Yeah. You know?
As soon as it picks up, that's the thing. It's like, you know, and I referenced the George Thorogood, which you hear at the beginning.
Yeah.
But Queens is actually, that's a really good. Especially
when it goes into the dirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Queens starts kicking in. Yeah. So that's going to be fun. We haven't played that song live yet, but I think we're going to have fun playing that on the 14th.
Oh, nice.
We will play it.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure we will play it.
All right.
I mean, we got to now, man. Now we're over here talking it up. Yeah, man. New single. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
All platforms right now. Now, I mean, you know, I mentioned before the versatility of your songwriting, and we spoke about this a little bit in the previous episode, but how do you guys approach new projects and new music? Is it always with a blank slate? Let's see what comes out. Or is there some kind of, do you guys prepare ahead of time and think, I want to write this kind of song?
No, I think it's very organic and spontaneous, which to me as a songwriter is a lot easier than trying to plan out. Like, I mean, it's like hard to plan out creativity, right? I mean, it's like you have this, you know, what drives me as the songwriter for the band is it's weird. I tend to kind of live my life in pictures. You know, it's I live my life kind of in visuals. And when I start playing around, I usually write all my songs on the acoustic. Mm-hmm. And I was actually listening to Chris Cornell in an interview, obviously, before he passed. And he writes all his songs on an acoustic. And I'm like, oh, well, we have that much in common.
Right.
And that's about it. But but I come up with these, you know, these kind of these, it might be an opening riff or this this chord progression or it might be just one chord or some finger picking. And then It's a bizarre phenomenon, but I start getting these visuals of kind of the theme of what that song sounds like. And then it starts kind of coming together, and I start putting together kind of these threads of ideas that fill it out. And then just kind of what the harder part is then is taking that thread and just working it. And this is where John comes in really handy. He's also an amazing songwriter, just trying to, you know, structure a kind of decent bridge, or to make sure there's a bridge, which he likes to do, as opposed to just going, you know, verse, chorus, and then out. So it's just, you know, it's an organic process. And that's the whole thing about, I love playing live and I love playing with John and the guys and all that, but really the best part about this whole thing is just the whole creative process of the germ, the development, to the fulfillment, to the out in the production, and then the release. I mean, that's just an amazing process.
Do you ever hear colors? Do you ever like think in terms of colors when you're writing too? I always heard like, you know, like Hendrix would talk about that all the time. And like, you know, you could easily pass that off as an acid thing, but you hear other songwriters talk about it too. And even people with perfect pitch, you know, like talk about like A is blue, B is red. You know,
synesthesia is what that is.
Synesthesia.
Yeah. And
that's a great word.
Great band name.
I have a friend who's got perfect pitch, and he does that. He hears keys in color.
Yeah.
So here, A flat is a certain color, but I've always heard in color, and I always thought everybody did. And little did I know that it's some sort of mental illness I have.
That explains
it's a gift, John. It's a gift. Yeah.
At least that's what he tells the judge.
Right. Right. Well, it's a superpower. It really is. I mean, you know, just that any kind of creativity, but
I mean, I listen to a ton of Tom Petty, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when you break down his songs, it's so simple yet so complex. Because he's, you know, he had a formula, but he would come up with something and just, it's not like he's writing Rush material, you know, where he's coming up with these massive progressions of minor and chords with all these augments and all that. I mean, it was pretty much in all major chords. He sings pretty much in A and E, you know, so he has he knows his limitations, but he has none, but he knows what his wheelhouse is. And then, but God, just the way it all comes together, it's so hard. It seems so easy to write that, but it's so damn hard to write that. It's like, you look at Dr. Seuss book and you're like, oh shit, that's easy. I mean,
any idiot could write that, but
but no, it's so hard to come up with that, you know, because it's so easy to write in something like, and then if you start overthinking, you're like, okay, I think I have to do this because this is probably what I should do. I should just go here. But if you just let it flow organically and just let kind of your instincts take over it's a wonderful process. So
I love that.
You have to be really good at self-editing. And you have to write a lot of music and be willing to throw a lot of it away.
Yeah.
because you have to know what's good and bad.
That's right.
And throwing it away is the hardest thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I've thrown away hundreds of songs where I'm like, nope.
Right. And you always think like, well, but no, but like if someone could just hear that one part, but you have to step back from it at a certain point. Working in audio is the exact same way.
Right. I've stolen bits of songs I throw away. This bit, this one. I'm like, okay, now it's a song.
Right. You got to Frankenstein it. Exactly.
Right. That's right.
I love the example of Tom Petty too, because it's the marriage of him and Mike Campbell, his guitar player, is so perfect because the simplicity that Mike Campbell plays with. I mean, you think about American Girl. That's one note, dude. It's like it's one note. But it's the way he's doing it. It's the certain octave. And then, you know, at the end, he's got that little pull off thing that sounds complicated. But even that, if you know how to play guitar, you know that that's not that complicated.
That's right.
And he's phenomenally talented. He could play circles around people, but he doesn't.
And I think what's so fascinating about Tom Petty and his band is that, you know, Ben Montench is a classically trained classical pianist. Mike Campbell is an amazing, you know, shredder of a guitarist, but he was able to keep them very simplistic, you know, to, because so when Mike Campbell was doing his leads, yeah, he could have gone off into this, but instead he just really kind of played chords, you know, and not like single notes and all that, and just say that. And Ben Montench was just kind of doing this basic, but you know, it's beautiful. And then when you listen to Ben Montench, and I listen to a lot of him on when he does his shows on XM, he'll play a song and he'll talk about it. And he always goes, and it's really easy to play, you know, I mean, because is this to say like, I need to give you an excuse. I know I'm this great, yeah, but this was so easy for me. But he always has to justify, like, well, you know, it's pretty easy to play. But, and you're going, nah, man, it's freaking brilliant.
It is. I mean, the simplest stuff always kind of is. See, this is why I love talking to you guys, because this is why we need a beer. This is why your podcast is the best set up for conversation.
Yeah, actually, our next one, which is coming out shortly, we did it with Jose Feliciano.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Wait till you see this thing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's awesome. What kind of beer were you drinking for that one?
This was by the Little Red Barn Brewer in Winsted, Connecticut, and so this guy named Nils, who was one of the founders and owners of the brewery, came to the set and got to meet Jose, and didn't know that Jose was going to do the beer, so the whole reveal is fantastic. But then Jose was drinking the beer, he's like, man, this is really good beer, you know, completely unsolicited. And Nils was like crying. This can't be.
Connecticut breweries, man. Jose Feliciano gave the stamp of approval right there. Man.
But I mean, what a legend. I mean, what a nice guy.
Oh, and what a get. How'd you get him?
So we do the show out of Factory Underground Studios in Norwalk, Connecticut. And so Jose works with Factory Underground. Matter of fact, a guy named Mark Allen, who works at Factory Underground, does all of Jose's sound when they travel. So we had this connection, and he asked Jose to be on the show, and we said, and it's beer. And he's like, oh, yeah, where do I go?
Right.
So he came down and was just like, you know, he was singing, and, you know, I was just, it's such a great show. I can't wait for this thing to come out.
For people who are watching who don't know about this yet, Music and a Brew podcast, it's the Simple Radical podcast. It's John and John right here who I'm talking to. And you guys team up with a brewery for every single episode. You have a special guest brewer come on and explain what you're drinking. But primarily, it's about these guests that you guys have gotten. I spoke earlier. You spoke to Todd Zuckerman from Styx at not this latest episode, but the one before, if memory serves me correctly. And the latest one is Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad.
Mark Farners will be coming out shortly. Yep. We had a very cool.
Am I telling tales out of school?
No, we haven't released that yet. No. Totally cool. Yeah. That shows the editing on that. We did Kenny Aronoff, who was also named one of the top 60 drummers of all time by Drum Magazine. So we only have 58 more drummers to go, and then we've nailed all 60, although a few of them are deceased, but whatever. Yeah. That's just been a fun, it's been a fun project that's really picking up a lot of steam. It's a really cool concept that the folks at Factory Underground really helped us develop. So,
yeah. And shout out to those guys, because they're doing so much fun stuff. That parking lot is a place to be down on Wall Street in Norwalk right now. You got Wall Street Theater putting on all kinds of shows. There's a great, God, and of course I forget their name right now. I have their cards somewhere. There's a great place that's been at the Sono Music Fest the last couple of times that they've done it this summer. They do this great, it's this art studio. They do these amazing murals, these amazing group murals, and they're right in that parking lot. And I love that. If you guys are watching right now, leave your name in the comments. I'm so sorry I forgot your name, but I'll see you this Saturday.
Yes.
It's just such a good vibrant part of the Fairfield County music scene that's really starting to come alive right now.
Yeah, those guys are great to work with. Just good folks. Ethan Isaac, Kenny Cash, Mark Allen, Evan Katz, all these guys, Tom Stewart. I mean, they're just the nicest and just so professional. And they produce our music. They help us mix. They help us master. They produce our they help build the set for Music and a Brew. I mean, just phenomenal guys.
yeah, man. I mean, if you're a creator of any kind, really, podcast, music, whatever, and you're looking to work with a studio that knows what they're doing, Factory Underground,
totally,
in Norwalk, man. So let's, I mean, dude, let's talk about this show with the Levitt. I'm so excited. Now, tickets are available right now, right?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. It's a great thing that Westport, the town of Westport, does. They have this incredible, they did this $30 million renovation of the band shell. So you got, you know, you can bring your lawn chairs and you can bring your food and your drink. You can't bring tables, I guess, but, and it's free. They're free shows. I mean, like 95%, they'll bring a national act. You know, they brought Pat Benatar and they brought Fogerty and they bring Chicago. I mean, that's how they bring some really great. Bruce Hornsby was just there. And so it's a free show. So you go to the Levitt Pavilion website and they want you to reserve tickets. There should be tickets the day of. I think the capacity is like 850. And when I checked with them last week, we're getting close to capacity. Nice. So pray for this weather like we have tonight. And it's going to be a packed house, and keep your fingers crossed for good weather. But it's a free show. So they suggest you go on and reserve tickets and print them out. And that way you're guaranteed to get in.
If you've never seen a show there, it's beautiful. I mean, it's right on the water, right by the bridge, across from, is that technically, are you in Saugatuck at that point, or are you across from Saugatuck? I don't know, but it's Westport, in that neighborhood of Westport, yeah. And it's just gorgeous down there.
Fantastic.
So for people who haven't seen you guys live or haven't had a chance to listen to your music yet, how would you describe the Simple Radicals? What is somebody going to see at this show next weekend? Next weekend,
Johnny, you run with that one. I'll chime in after you.
It's a good, solid rock and roll thing. I mean, we're not new indie anything, but new enough, and good, solid. I don't want to say old fashioned rock and roll because it's
retro rock,
but it's pretty up, very up tempo for most of it. You know, yeah.
It's rock. It's rock.
Yeah, it's just straight up rock. I mean, there's, you know, yeah. I can't describe. It's not punk rock. It's not, you know, dirgy rock. It's not gent. It's just rock.
Gent.
It's solid nice rock.
With the gent.
I was watching the Foo Fighters on Lollapalooza. John, you went, right?
No, White Sox game. I was on the L with 50 million of them.
Oof.
All right. I thought you were there. When Dave Grohl came out, And you know, he's such a ham, but what a great entertainer. The first thing he said was, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Are you ready for some rock and roll?" And that, you know, and as if to say, it's a bizarre thing, but you know, he obviously says it, but it's almost like, you know, people want rock and roll, but he's just reminding the folks, it's just visceral rock and roll. Yeah. There's nothing about it, but just it's pure rock and roll. And that's the way we describe our band. There's nothing. There's no indie flair. It's just solid, straight from the heart, pure visceral rock and roll. And, you know, that's what they get. A lot of energy. The songs are upbeat. We do, you know, we have a couple ballads that, you know, that we roll into some really cool jams. But it's just it's a great rock and roll show. Hey, and there's a guy coming on that's going to introduce the band named John Kamal.
Look at that. Look at that. There's that guy right there.
Yeah.
And so I will be there as well. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys were gracious enough to ask me to invite me to this. And I'm never going to say no to that. Like I said, I've gotten a chance to play there for Blues Views. That's a good scene right there. I'm going to take any opportunity. So thank you guys for the invite.
Yeah, thank
for my
you.
Own. Thank oh, you. Yeah. No, my pleasure. But for my own, you know, just having listened to you guys, you know, having, you know, worked with you now a couple of times, like I said earlier, versatility and sound, you're going to hear there's something for everybody. It's a rock band. I said this, I think, verbatim the first time we spoke, as a rock band that's not afraid of the major scale. It's a party. You can dance. It's upbeat. It's a good time. Similar to the Foo Fighters in that way.
Yeah.
It's got everything. It's got everything you need at a nice outdoor venue where we can all feel just a little bit more secure with what's going on right now.
The price is right.
The price is right, too. That's true.
That's right.
That's right.
It's true. I think the price is one for zero and you get two for zero. So
you can get a Groupon.
You can get a Groupon.
You can get a Groupon.
I think if you have four, they still give it to you for zero. So it's
I can do that math. I can do
these that. Guys. I mean, listen, my God, it's like they're giving it away.
They're giving it away.
It's like they're giving it away.
You can't go wrong.
At least it's awesome. They're not very good businessmen, but they're awesome.
Right. Well, right. But don't tell them that.
Right. The good news is if we suck, someone can't go, I want my money back. So
it's also true. It's also it's an insurance policy at the end of the day.
That's right. Really. That's right. Give a guitar pick. So yeah, we'll have the merchandise. People have been we've been posting it and people have been asking about merchandise. Yes, we will have merchandise available for sale at the show so they can get t-shirt. Oh, and by the way, what we do this at all the show, all the proceeds from a merchandise, we donate it to a substance abuse a facility in the state we play, and this will be donated. All the proceeds from our merch will be donated to a substance abuse foundation or location in Connecticut, because we tied into our song Medicaid, which Vernon Reed played on, and that song meant so much to him and a lot of friends that he lost to substance abuse. And so we say, like, you know, we're just giving all the proceeds away. So not only get to hear a cool song, but they get a cool shirt, hat, CD, poster, so whatever they want.
And get to give to a great cause. I love that because, you know, I mean, there's a number of reasons why this last year has been brutal, but people stuck alone in their houses, there's been a particular spike in that particular issue. And I've seen it in my own life in friends of mine. So I appreciate that personally, that you guys are doing that. I think that's awesome, man.
It means a lot to us.
Well, fellas, let's put a bow on this thing. What's next? What's next for you guys? What can we look forward to?
Well, we are after Levitt. We are now planning our tour in the Midwest, and we're talking to some really cool clubs and starting to book our Chicago dates. And then we're going to start. I think what we're going to do is start playing some of the states in the Midwest area, and then you know, just pray that we could continue to keep playing live. You know, I mean, we're all kind of keeping our fingers crossed, but we're just excited to go out and play live again. And we put together just a great set list, and it's flowing nice. We're rehearsing hard, and it's going to be, we're ready to rock, man.
I'm ready for it, man. I can't wait to hang out with you guys next week. John Griffin, any last thoughts? Any last words? That's very dark. Any last thoughts?
I'm looking forward to getting out to the East Coast. I'm jonesing for it. They're practicing. I'm practicing. But I haven't seen John in a long time, so it'll be nice to get out there. It's been a minute.
I was going to say, how long has it been since you guys seen each other in person?
Months.
Middle of the spring. Weren't you out in the spring? February or March?
It was I think I was there towards the end of April.
Yeah. We did a rehearsal here and we were mixing something. Yeah.
We were mixing. We were finishing I'll Let's See What You Got. Yeah. Yeah. So John's coming out from Chicago. And let me just we're working with, for this show, we have two amazing musicians. Local guys. One guy, our drummer, Greg Trabant, who's just a sensational drummer, joining us for the show, plays in the band Laurel Canyon, Running on Empty.
Yeah.
Amazing. And one of the nicest guys in the world. And then Todd Grossman is playing bass with us for this show. And he's
what
also.
What does he play with? Why do I know that name?
I don't know. He plays with a bunch of bands. He works with School of Rock in New Canaan.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
And just great guy and what a great voice. And I mean, we're just so privileged to play with these guys for this show.
And listen, man, I can't wait. It's next week. Next week. So 8:14. I'll just throw the thing up. Why else would I write that? But to throw it up right here.
7:30 showtime.
Simple Radicals at the Levitt Pavilion. 7:30 showtime. It's on 8:14. It's free. Just go sign up for your ticket or just show up. That's okay.
And you're going to be there. That alone is
worth
the free ticket.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's worth the free ticket.
That's the price of admission right there.
I like that. Oh, my gosh. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Stick around for a minute after I end the live broadcast. But it's great to see you again, dude.
See you too, Johnny. Thanks for all your help. Thanks for your partnership, man. We truly appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I'll see you in a week. For everybody watching at home, Simple Radicals, we're going to be playing some of their music this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox. Make sure you tune in Sunday, 9 p.m. Fairfield County Live and Local. If you live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, it's just 95.9 FM. If you live outside, 959thefox.com. You can hear some Simple Radicals this Sunday.